Hello and welcome to FX Talk, an eBury podcast all about the foreign exchange market, where we break down some of the main news headlines in financial markets and give our take on what these developments might mean for the world of FX. My name is Matthew Ryan, Senior Market Analyst here at eBury, and I'm joined as always on the podcast by two of my colleagues, our Chief Risk Officer, Enrique Diaz-Alvarez, and Market Analyst, Roman Zuruk. Welcome back, everyone, to the latest episode of eBury's FX Talk podcast, our second of 2022 so far. And after a relatively quiet start to the year, activity in currencies has begun to pick up in the past fortnight or so. Euro-dollar, for instance, has broken out of its holiday period slumber and advanced out of the very narrow range that it held throughout the entirety of December. The pair briefly rose to a two-month high around the 114.5 level late last week, although it's since retraced some of its gains. Indeed, the dollar has depreciated against most of its peers so far this year. The dollar is currently trading as the worst performer in the G10 year to date, followed closely by the Australian and New Zealand dollars. The move itself has been slightly counterintuitive. Financial markets have continued to ramp up bets in favor of Federal Reserve interest rate hikes as US inflation jumps to yet another four-decade high, 7% in December. And Fed fund futures are now fully pricing in a hike from the Fed at its March meeting, and a total of 100 basis points of hikes are now priced in for 2022. US yields have also increased. The 10-year Treasury yield has jumped to around 1.82%, which is its highest level in 2 years. Now, all these factors should be a strong US dollar positive, but actually, as mentioned, the dollar has underperformed in the past two or three weeks or so, and was down rather sharply last week to its lowest level in 2 months. So the big question for you both, why do you think we are seeing this sell-off in the dollar at a time when US yields and inflation are on the rise?
It's an excellent question. I mean, normally the surest predictor of a dollar rally is an increase in rates in the US, in particular real rates, meaning rates after discounting market expectations for inflation. And so far this year, we have seen a decoupling between the two. It seems like today we're seeing that relationship reassert itself. Real rates are rising again amidst this brutal sell-off in fixed income markets, and the dollar is rising again. But so far this year, you're right that we have seen the dollar sell off moderately against most of its peers. The simplest explanation that the strategists like to give when something doesn't move as expected is positioning. Like, there had been such a consensus among traders and investors that rates in the US were bound to go higher, and that would be a positive for the dollar, that there's an excess positioning in long dollar positions, and that makes that the dollar vulnerable to a position cleanup when things start moving the other way. So, but that's not the most satisfying explanation, but it's the only explanation that I can give. The other one perhaps would be that we've been banging the drum for a while, but the European Central Bank's insistence that they can buck the trend and not hike rates until going into 2023 is unsustainable. We've seen already some hawkish noises from some members of the European Central Bank. You could perhaps say that markets are anticipating a turn in the ECB, with the markets pricing in now more than four hikes out of the Federal Reserve in 2022. It's going to be difficult for the Fed to hike any faster than that, whereas there's still plenty of room for markets to price in hikes from the European Central Bank in 2022, as I think they will. So perhaps markets were anticipating that ECB turn at some point this year.
So the yields are rising everywhere right now. If we look at the situation, for instance, in Germany, they were just at minus 0.4%, looking at the 10-year yield on the sovereigns. Right now, it's approximately 0%. And the expectations for hikes are also rising universally across the board. And also, many countries have already hiked or will hike this year. And this has been particularly the case for many EM currencies. I think that a good example here is the Central European currencies, particularly the Polish zloty recently, because the currencies, they have appreciated and they have remained rather stable or even though the yields have risen. So this would be my guess why the USD did not react so much. And generally, I also think that we might be nearing a limit to what is priced in the US. Currently, we have a March hike that is priced in fully. There is even some probability that it will be a stronger hike than 25 basis points. And we have four full hikes priced in for 2022. So there isn't really too much, that much more that can be priced in before we enter a territory that would be potentially dangerous for the economy, in that it might increase the bets that the US will enter a rather significant slowdown. And this might not be positive for the US dollar. So that would be my view, at least.
Yes. I think we're largely on the same page here. I think the market has actually perhaps realized it may have slightly got ahead of itself. Of course, the dollar was the best performing currency in the G10 in 2021. And that was largely due to heightened bets in favor of Federal Reserve rate hikes. I think perhaps the thing with the US is, of course, the US economy is the most closely watched in the world. The Federal Reserve is the most closely watched central bank in the world. I think the market may have perhaps got slightly carried away with what the Fed was going to do in 2022 at the expense perhaps of some of its peers, hence the dollar rally. If we look at some of the other major central banks, they're expected to do much of the same, if not more, this year, like the Bank of England, Bank of Canada, Reserve Bank of New Zealand, Norges Bank, for instance, are all expected to raise interest rates as or more aggressively than the Federal Reserve this year. So the fact that the US dollar has been the best performer, perhaps slightly counterintuitive. And as you mentioned, Roman, I think there is obviously a limit as to how much can be priced in by the market. Investors are now fully pricing in a hike in March, as you mentioned. And I think it's around 100 basis points over the course of this year. So the gap between market pricing and reality is relatively narrow. And as we said, the room for additional rally in the US dollar in that regard may be slightly limited, hence this move lower that we've seen in the dollar in the past couple of weeks or so. We'll move on to our second main topic now, and that covers the recent rally witnessed in emerging market currencies. For the most part, EM currencies sold off against the dollar in 2021. Some suffered losses of more than 10%, the likes of the Chilean and Colombian peso, while one of our least favoured currencies, the Turkish lira, sold off by more than 40%. So far in 2022, we have, however, seen a broad rebound in most of these EM currencies, many in excess of 3% in less than 3 weeks, including the Brazilian real, South African rand, Hungarian forint. Well, now, most of this recovery has been due to the weakness we've seen in the US dollar. We've also seen a general rebound in risk appetite, which has helped support these higher risk currencies. Concerns surrounding the economic impact of the Omicron variant of COVID-19 has eased. In the UK, for instance, most of the existing restrictions now look on course to be scrapped at the end of the month. And this has become a bit of commonplace in many other major economic areas. Again, the UK, for instance, mask wearing, COVID passports, the current work from home orders are expected to end at the end of the month. And actually, if we look at macroeconomic news that's covered the Omicron period, it's been relatively encouraging. December PMIs, for instance, while falling to multi-month lows, have actually remained comfortably in expansionary territory. So the overall growth outlook for this year is relatively solid, and emerging market currencies appear to be benefiting from that. But will this trend continue? What do you both think about the recent rebound in EM currencies, and do you see scope for additional moves higher in these risk currencies?
I think what we're seeing is a belated consequence of the fact that most of these central banks already hiked rates in 2021. So in a way, contrary to the usual norm, emerging market countries took measures to control inflation much earlier than advanced countries. Unlike the US and most of G10, where rates still have barely started to go up, if they've gone up at all, where the short-term and medium-term rates continue to be hugely below inflation. In most of the major emerging market economies, rates are at or above inflation. We've seen some encouraging signs that inflation may have stabilized. So there's there may be a recognition that the central banks may be close to done hiking rates in the emerging markets. And another force supporting them is the rally in commodities. The fact that fiscal and monetary conditions, even after the recent modest tightening in rates, fiscal and monetary conditions in the advanced countries continue to be extremely loose. Demand is outstripping supply throughout the commodity complex. And that as a whole, with some idiosyncrasies like the Turkish disaster, but as a whole, that is supportive of the asset class, of emerging markets as an asset class.
Yeah, so I wouldn't get carried away with the move in the EM currencies that we have witnessed so far this year, because this move has been quite limited. Looking at the EM indices, it has been up to 1%. Even after today's moves, it's more like a 0.5%. Generally, I think that most of it is the reflection of the US dollar weakness and not particularly the appreciation of the EM currencies, although there are some exceptions, primarily the Central and Eastern Europe here. That being said, I also, the stress is that I don't look at emerging markets as a one group, but rather a group of groups or a group of groups within that there are different currencies that have their own idiosyncrasies. And we have seen those idiosyncrasies at the turn of the year with a number of currencies, such as the Turkish lira, but also recently Russian ruble, also Chinese yuan. So I think that generally we have to be quite careful in talking about the EM currencies as a whole. But overall, I think that as Enrique mentioned, the uptick in commodity prices is a positive factor going forward, and we expect it to continue. Also, the expectations of the US dollar weakness and that the increase in the US yields will not have a very strong negative effect on the EM currency spectrum. And also the expectations that the perhaps the Omicron variant will help to speed up the process of getting out of the pandemic. I think this all should work in favor of the EM spectrum as a whole. Although looking at the particular currencies, I would be very careful and look and search for idiosyncrasies, because this is a spectrum in which there is just a number of those, starting from the political situation to geopolitical, to fiscal situation, to balance sheet situation, the balance of trade situation. A lot of things matter here. And I think that it's important to look at those specific aspects.
Yes, I very much agree with that point. Obviously, it's difficult to look at any sort of group of assets as a whole, and to look at each one individually it would make the most sense. I think, though, that aside, sort of in general, I think our view between the three of us is still a pretty positive one for risk assets. We mentioned this in the last episode, so I don't want to repeat myself too much. But as we said, signs on Omicron are relatively good on the whole, not only on the expected economic impact to come, which I think most analysts think will be relatively minimal, but actually if we look at data that's out over the Omicron period so far, it's been largely encouraging and nowhere near the same disruption that we've seen in the past. So that's good for the global economy. It's generally a good sign for emerging market currencies. And as we said in the past few weeks or so, I think the return of carry is going to be a key theme in currency markets this year. The safe haven trade is going to be a less popular one as COVID uncertainty continues to ease. And investors will instead be looking, I think, for high returns elsewhere. And they'll find those in emerging markets. Central banks in the developing world have already raised interest rates very aggressively, as we said, and that's likely to continue to be the case in most instances. So in 2022, as we said, you know, Central and Eastern Europe have already been raising interest rates aggressively, as have Latin America, and at a much more rapid pace than we've seen in the developed world. And I think that can only be a positive for emerging market currencies. Okay, we're going to end now with our spotlight currency for the week, which this week is the New Zealand dollar. And the New Zealand dollar has had a rather difficult past 2 or 3 months. In fact, has been the worst performer in the G10 during that time. Versus the US dollar, it's lost almost 6% of its value since the start of November and is currently trading around the 0.68 level, which is just above its lowest level since the end of 2020, I should say. Now, on the surface, this move can be seen as a slightly unusual one. COVID restrictions in New Zealand, which were ultra strict in most of the second half of last year, were eased leading up to the Christmas period. The Reserve Bank of New Zealand has also been one of the more hawkish in the G10. Rates were raised there on 2 occasions at the end of last year, and markets are now pricing in a hike at each of the next 5 meetings through to August. So with that in mind, what do you guys think has been the reason behind this underperformance in the New Zealand dollar? And what are your general views on the currency? Is it a buy, sell, or hold opportunity?
I mean, I have to say I'm a little puzzled that it hasn't performed better than it has, because it seems to have the wind in its back, aggressive central bank that will probably end up the year 2022 with some of the highest rates in the G10. It's a commodity exporting country, so general positive background for commodity prices should help New Zealand in terms of trade and the currency generally. The central bank may be interested in using currency strength at some point as a tool to fight inflation. Again, the performance is a little bit puzzling, but for me, it's one of the strongest buys in the G10, the New Zealand dollar.
Yes. So generally, looking at the New Zealand dollar, I think it's good to look at the history, because the moves currently that we are seeing, or the situation, may be quite puzzling, but what has led to it isn't that puzzling. In November, we had the situation where we had the risk of sentiment, we had the expectations of Fed tightening increasing, we had decline in commodity prices induced by Omicron fears, and the markets were not really impressed with the New Zealand hiking process. But what has been interesting is that since then, although some of those factors have significantly improved, particularly the commodity prices have moved up, the market, I think, has gotten used to the Fed hikes, and the dollar hasn't appreciated. In fact, it moved in reverse. And we are left with a very cheap New Zealand dollar. And this, to me, certainly is puzzling. I would expect the currency to be somewhat more strong. So it raises the possibility that we are not seeing something, or that we are not attributing enough weight to something that is important. And looking at such factors, maybe it has something to do with the slowdown in China, because New Zealand is closely linked economically, just as the other antipodean country, Australia, to China. And we are undeniably seeing a slowdown there. So maybe this has some effect on the currency. But overall, I think that there are many reasons why the currency should perform better than most G10 currencies, particularly the interest rate hikes, and that should of the New Zealand should perform one of the strongest hikes, or rather one of them, or be the country that has the most hikes in the G10. Also, the commodity prices we expect to continue them moving up. So this is another positive factor. But yeah, so I would say it's a buy. Also, because we expect the sentiment to improve. That being said, one needs to keep in mind that it's a high beta currency. It's very volatile. And also, I think that there might be some downside risk because of the situation in China that could affect, or even currently it might be dragging down the currency.
Yeah, so for me, the New Zealand dollar is also a buy opportunity. I think that, you know, as we said, the sell-off at the end of last year was a bit puzzling. I think an explanation possibly could be that it was largely a correction from earlier in the year, If we look at the New Zealand dollar, it's actually one of the better performers in the G10 through to the end of October. I think that's partly because the market started pricing in higher rates from the Reserve Bank of New Zealand sooner than most other major central banks. And perhaps this was just the rest of the world catch, or rest of the developed world catching up. And hence, we saw the bit of a move lower in the New Zealand currency. But actually, I think the outlook for 2022 for New Zealand dollar is good. As we said, RBNZ has been one of the most hawkish central banks in the G10. I expect them to raise rates at their next meeting in February and then indicate an aggressive tightening cycle is on the way. We expect commodities to be well supported this year. Again, positive for a currency such as the Kiwi. And New Zealand's move away from this zero COVID policy, I think, is also a positive development, not just for New Zealand economy, but for the New Zealand dollar. So for me, again, also, I think it's a fairly strong buy opportunity. And that's it from us. If you're keen to hear more about our thoughts on the FX market, visit eBreeze's website or follow us on social media. And don't forget to rate and review the podcast on your favourite podcast app. And let us know if there are any topics you'd like to hear more on during upcoming episodes. Keep an eye out for our next episode in a fortnight's time. Thank you all very much for listening.